The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We're at the time of the year where a lot of talk is on the topic of giving. Well, you know, the thing is, Jesus often talked and taught on the subject of giving. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now that's, when you think about it, that summarizes the whole statement, the whole topic. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Is there an implication that if we don't give, that we're not going to be given? Yeah, I think that's what it's telling us. Yeah, I think it's exactly what it is telling us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now read this next part. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Can't you just imagine this? You know, it's like if you go someplace and they say a bag of beans, for example, for, I don't know, I'll say for a dollar. I'm probably way out of touch. But anyway, but you can take this bag, you can fill it up for a dollar. Well, how much are you going to put in there? Are you going to shake it to make sure it all goes down? Well, probably. Well, this is what he's talking about. This is how God says that he's going to see to us that we receive because we are givers. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you merit out, is what it says, it shall be measured to you again. So are we givers? Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he, Jesus, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in there two mites, which a lot of different commentaries have different ways, but the best that I can come to a conclusion, two mites is equal to about one half of a penny today. And Jesus said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all they. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. He didn't say that what they gave was wrong. He didn't say it was anything bad about it, did he? He's making the comparison here. But she, of her poorness, of her lack, has cast in all the living that she has. Jesus also spoke about giving from the point of view of the blessedness that we receive of giving. Let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20, 35. I have shown you all things, this is Apostle Paul talking, and he says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that we are to support the weak. We're to be there. Remember, this is the subject he's talking about. And then he says, and I'm calling to mind the words of Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, question is that our attitude? Is that our attitude? Brethren, so that we might experience this godly blessedness, I have a question for us to consider. Are we godly givers? First of all, let's please understand there are different types of givers. And so I'd like for us to look at some types of givers. And all the time, we can be asking ourselves the question, is this the type of giver that I am? The first type that I want to talk about is those who give rarely. Now, this is because of their greed and their covetousness. I mean, I'm just flat out stating this what it is. Because you can't say, well, I don't have anything, therefore I can't give anything. Really? What about this widow who was blessed by Jesus Christ to be written about in the scriptures because she gave half a penny? And you're going to see through the sermon that I'm not talking just about money. It's not just money, but it could be. But these people who give rarely, I'm telling you it's because of their greed and because of their covetousness. And as a result of that attitude of being that type of a giver, they hurt themselves by their being stingy. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, 21. He that despises his neighbor sins, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. That's an attitude. That's an attitude of being stingy that we see here. So it's a illustration of a verse that is talking about those that type of giver who rarely gives. This is what he's referring to. Proverbs 19 in verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord. He's not giving it to the poor. He's giving it to God. This is what it says. This is what the scripture says. He gives it to God. And that which he has given, will he pay him again? It's going to come back. Might not be in this life, but it's going to come back. There's a right attitude and there's a wrong attitude about giving. And there are some who give rarely. And they are selfish in not giving. And they are hurting themselves by their not being a giver. So the second type that I want us to look at is those who give grudgingly. They may give, but they give it with the wrong attitude. They give only out of what I might consider as a sense of obligation or duty. I give because I have to. And if it is done this way, if it is done grudgingly or begrudgingly, it does not matter how much that person gives. Because it's not going to make any difference. Not to that person. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity or of duty or of obligation. Don't do it because it's the obligation, or don't do it because you feel a sense of duty that you have to do it. And don't do it grudgingly. It says, because God loves a cheerful giver. This type of giving may actually be a benefit to those on the receiving end. Those who receive, there may be some benefit to others, but it does not benefit this type of giver. They are not benefited in the giving at all. And then the third type that I want us to look at is those who give graciously. You can use a lot of different words, generously, hilariously, cheerful giver. That's what the word actually is probably better translated as. These givers give several different attitudes, and I want to demonstrate some of those with you. The first one is that of sacrificially. Never say sacrifice. The person who gives graciously is a person who's going to give and he's going to sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In other words, we're going to brag about Macedonia here. This is what he's telling them. Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they were liberal. They didn't have, but they gave anyway. They gave it in a generous way. They were gracious in their giving. That's the point. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They didn't do it because it was duty. They didn't do it because they felt that it was their obligation to do so. They did it from within. They gave this way because this is what they wanted to do. And they were sacrifice. Another example of this type of giver is that they will give joyfully. We see that right here in where we are in the same chapter, in the same verses here. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, liberally. And another example is they give freely. Verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So they gave freely. They weren't asked to do this. This was a church. When you look back and you see through the records of the history of the church, you see this was a church that really was not wealthy. They didn't have a lot, but they wanted to give to the others who had less than they did. And so they gave of it, and they gave in a sacrificing way. They gave very generously, and they gave freely, and they gave joyfully. And then another point that we see here also is persistently. And that's in verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, they were praying and asking us that we would receive the gift. Because here's Paul saying, they're asking us to take the gift. You know, would you take this gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were persistent in their giving. Paul knew this was not a wealthy church. This was not a church that had a lot, but they gave anyway, and this was a proper attitude. And it's very, very exciting to think about their attitude of the Macedonian church here. This type of giver is one who, first of all, gives himself to Jesus Christ. And that's how this is where this comes about. This is how this type of giver is going to become this type of giver, because they first are going to give themselves to Jesus Christ. Verse 5. This is still in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This kind of giving is an illustration of God's love and grace that is at work. It's an attitude, it's a spirit of God's grace and love at work in both the giver as well as the recipient. Because God is a cheerful giver, and he gives because he wants others to receive. So it came from them, but they were also wanting the others to receive it in that way. So when we look at these three type of givers, the question that I ask is, what type are we? Make it personal. What type are you? And I'll make it personal. What type am I? Now, as we think about these different types of givers, and you can break it down and you can see other kinds and all this, but I think those three kind of puts it in big categories, and I think it's summarizes in a big way. We also can appreciate the importance of the right type of giving. You see, brethren, God blesses the giver. We read that. We already read that. You know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Is that our attitude? I ask it when I first read it. I ask it again. Is this our attitude? A second thing that we understand is God blesses those who gives. Let's go to Psalm 41. In Psalm 41, beginning in verse 1, Psalm 41 in verse 1, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Pretty awesome scripture, isn't it? See, the indication here is blessed is he that considers the poor. In other words, he's thinking about somebody that has less than he has. And so he's doing something. This is an attitude of this type of giver. And as a result of that, what we're seeing here is God blesses that type of giver. Verse 2. The Lord will preserve him, this person who has this type of attitude toward those who have less. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you shall not deliver him into the will of his enemies. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. You will make all his bed in his sickness. God's going to take care of him. This is what he's saying. God is going to take care of this type of person. Let's go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given, will he pay him again? Brethren, do we also understand that the grace of God, and you can find that word as grace or mercy, unmerited pardon, you know, receiving something, not because we deserve it, but we receive something else God gives to us in a liberal way or a generous way or a loving way. Do we understand that the grace of God is at work in those people who give that way? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's go back there. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish to you the same grace also. In other words, you gave him, so he's going to give back, you know, what you're going to be needing of in that sense. Verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. It's the grace of God. It's demonstrated in a person who gives that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work. God's going to see to it. If a person is this type of a giver, God is going to see to it. This type of person is taken care of. God is going to see to it that this type of person is taken care of. Drop down to verse 14. And by their prayer for you, in other words, they're praying for these other churches who are going to receive. This is talking about the churches at Macedonia. The brethren there are giving to, you know, two others who have less than they do. And it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. So, brethren, we also need to please think about the point that giving blesses the giver more than the recipient, if it's done in this way. Because remember the first type I showed? You know, first type we looked at was the guy who gives very slacking, you know, not very rarely. How's he going to be blessed? Well, he doesn't have an attitude and doesn't have a generous heart in that way. So is he going to receive more than the recipient? No. And then what about the second type, the one that does it in a grudging manner? We already saw that he's not going to be blessed in it. Those who receive it, whatever they're giving, the recipient there could be blessed because they receive something they didn't have, and so that's a blessing. But the one who gives in that way is not being blessed. But here we see that giving blesses the giver more than the recipient when he gives this way. Because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves the person who gives in this way we're talking about. Paul reminded of that to the Corinthians. That's in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. We read that every man according as he purposes in his heart. Not because he has to do it, not because it's obligated, not because it's expected, but because he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves this type of person. And we also would do well to understand that a cheerful giver does not need to worry. Isn't that awesome to think about it when you think about it in that way? A person with this type of attitude is a person that God says they don't need to worry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Some of you know right where I'm going. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he, shall God not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. And now you see the context of this verse of Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God. If you apply this verse, verse 33 here, to that of a generous giver, of a right-spirited attitude, of or a godly giver type attitude, then apply this to this, what is going to happen for that person? They're going to not have any reason to have worry, because God is going to take care of them. This is what he's saying. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. You remember what he said about the Macedonians? They gave, and they were praying to us to take this, to give it to those who don't have as much as we. But first, they gave themselves over to God. This is what it says. This is what this is saying. They sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah, they still didn't have, but what they did have, they still gave, so that the churches, other churches that were having the problems they were having because of the drought and the famine and all the things that were going on, they gave, and then they were, as it were, begging Paul and them to take it along and take it to them, because they had given themselves first. And they were not worried about how they were going to be taken care of, because they were seeking God first. And they knew that God was going to do that. The reason this is true is because God watches over those whom he loves. Now, if we're just looking at, I know he watches over people in all kinds of situations, but I'm limiting the sermon today to these three types of givers. Which one do you think is the type that God is looking over because God loves? Well, he loves all humanity, and we understand that. I'm not doing that. I'm talking about this type of giving. Which one do you think that he would love? The one who gives like God gives. This third type. Luke 12. Let's go to Luke 12. Verse 6, you know this. Luke 12, verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgiven before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. It's not a comparison. The sparrow is taken care of by God. This is what he's saying, and he's making a comparison here. And you're worth much more than that. To the degree that he even knows the number of his hairs upon our head. He takes care of us. So giving cheerfully makes us a recipient of God's care and God's love toward us. And I'm talking about because we are this way. I'm not talking about because we're human and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for all men. He's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he gave them for everybody. I'm not talking about that. That's true. I'm limiting here to the type of giver. Cheerfully giving makes us a recipient of God's care and God's love toward us. And God also provides seed for the sower. Oh, we talked about this in a sermon just a few weeks ago, didn't we? I'm going to tie that into here, to this attitude of the right kind of giving. In other words, those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. In other words, the first type of giver who gives rarely, how is he sowing? Sparingly. How is he going to receive? Sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And another point about this type of a giver who gives in this way and with this heart and with this attitude, it is not for personal use or for personal gain necessarily. Let's read on in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. So it is not for personal use. It's so that others are blessed. A person like this gives because others are going to be blessed. So again, I say it's not for personal use, but it is to have all sufficiency in all things and to have an abundance for every good work. In other words, they're going to have so that they can do whatever it is that they do in serving God. If they're serving other people in some way, they're going to have more to be able to do so. It's not so that they will have more, it's so that they will have more to serve others. That's the catch. That's the attitude. That's what he's looking for. This can be seen from just part of what we just read, part of the quote that was read there from the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 112. Let's go back there and read the whole context of that psalm and see what this is referring to. In Psalm 112, verse 5, a good man sows favor and lends. Remember what it says, whenever you give in this way to the poor or those who are in need, who is it that you really are giving to? You're giving it to God. And this is the context. This is what he's saying. A good man sows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. Remember, isn't this all the kind of things we've been seeing? What are we talking about? This is all what David is writing about here. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Now, we think about this sometimes when we think about, crush the enemy. It's not necessarily what is meant here. The desire to the enemy could be that the enemy become a friend, become a brother. And that's the ultimate desire. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. That's the heart. That's the attitude of a godly giver. That's the attitude they're going to have. Are we going to stay away from the enemy so we're not going to be crushed by them while we're doing whatever it is that God's wanting to do? Absolutely. But what is our ultimate attitude toward this enemy? They become brothers. If they're not enemies, they become brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the ultimate, right? Isn't that the ultimate that we would want for everybody? Of course it is. And this is what this is saying. His heart is established and he will not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be established with honor. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9 again. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which comes through us, thanksgiving to God. You see, God gives to godly givers to increase the fruits of our righteousness and to be enriched for all generosity or liberalness that we would have in blessing others. Which type of person do you think God is going to give to? The person that is stingy or the person that is open-handed toward others? I think we know the answer. Of course we know the answer. Well, that's the way God is. It's very clearly, that's how God is. And please also understand, brethren, that God is praised by this type of giving. God is praised, is being praised in whenever we give in this way. For example, thanksgiving is offered by those whose needs are supplied. They thank God. They thank God. Yeah, they may say, thank you But who they're thanking is God. Because remember where it really comes from? It really comes from God. And this is the whole thing that we see here. Let's continue on here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints or what is lacking to the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Yeah, the saints' needs are taken care of. But it also, the end result of this type of giving also is a great deal of praise, you know, and thanksgiving back to God. So my point here, this point that I'm showing you here, is God is praised by this type of giving. Also, we see glory is given to God because of his love and his mercy in the lives of the givers. God's glory is being demonstrated. Verse 13, we're still in the same place. Whilst by the experiment of this manifestation they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their power for you, which long after you are the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And we could talk about the unspeakable gift here. Could be the gift of the Holy Spirit. It could be an aspect of the gift of the Holy Spirit here. It could be this attitude of being this type of giver. Because it comes as a gift. We have to desire it. We have to want to be like God. We have to want to be like Jesus Christ. We want to be a giver like God is a giver. And that's given to us as a gift. So I think what we see here is giving liberally leads to God being praised liberally. We thank him, you know, if you're this type of giver, you thank God that you have it that you can give, right? And so God is praised. And then those on the receiving end, they receive it and they praise God because they're the recipient of the receiving. And so both sides, as a result of the right heart and right attitude here, God is praised. And that's an awesome thing to think about it. Another thing that comes as a result of being this type of giver is brotherly love is increased by giving. We see this by brethren who witness God's grace in the givers. I mean, I'm just restating it. I'm just putting in another term, but it's the same thing. Brotherly love is increased by giving because it is seen by brothers who witness God's grace through the giver. Because, you know, if you're on the receiving end, you have nothing and somebody gives to you, a brother gives to you, you know it comes from God, and you thank God that that person has that same heart. Right? I mean, isn't this the way it works? Of course it is. And so brotherly love is going to increase. Yeah, you're going to praise God for it, but you're going to love, it's going to be a bonding there. Verse 14, same place that we've been in. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. You see, it causes them to love and long for their brethren. And that's a good thing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Is this our attitude toward brothers, wherever they may be, brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are? Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests for joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In other words, giving liberally strengthens the bonds of brotherly love. You say, yeah, but what if I give it to the world? There are brothers that we don't know yet. Because what do we want to happen with our enemies? To become brothers. It's an attitude, brethren. It's an attitude. And brethren, we certainly have a lot of good reasons that we see in the scriptures, a lot of good examples, like the Macedonians. That's what we've been reading here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's recorded for us there to inspire us to be this type of givers. I'd like for us to take one more thing here today, and I'd like to see some thoughts on becoming a better giver. We obviously know there are different ways to give. And first of all, I want to make it very clear, giving is not limited to money. It could include money, but it's not necessarily limited to giving, so I'm not saying that. Because here's the point, God may give us abilities so that we can use to be able to use those gifts and those abilities that others are served. And that's giving to others. That's also a heart and an attitude of giving. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift. What gift? Whatever it is. Yeah, we've all received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we've also received other gifts as well. Received the gift. Even so, minister or serve the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, and then he lists some of those gifts that he could be that we've received. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gave. That God, listen to this, that God in all these may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, this is what we see. It could be that our talents, our abilities are to teach or to serve, or even our time can be a great gift. It could be money, could be time, could be energy, could be physical strength. You know, there's someone who can't do, and there's somebody else who physically can do. You know, what is the heart and what is the attitude? Well, whatever our abilities may be, and whatever the opportunities that we have may be, is very clear. What these scriptures here in 1 Peter is telling us is, we are all stewards of the grace of God. He gave it to us. He, God, gave that gift, whether it be money, whether it be time, whether it be abilities, or any other category that you want to put it in. God gave it to us, and we are to be stewards of that grace of God, because God gave it to us. Therefore, we should use our gifts to serve one another. We, therefore, are to use the abilities God supplies us with. If we're not being a godly giver. We're one of those other kind. You give it because of out of duty, or you feel it's a responsibility. Yeah, I've got to do this. This is an obligation. I got to do this. Well, others are going to be blessed, but you're not. Or if you only use it rarely, you're going to be blessed. Probably not. So it's only one type. It's this one that gives with this heart, this attitude of giving generously, liberally. So however it is that we give, we are to let it reflect the grace of God in us. That's what it says. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was God. He emptied himself and he became a human being for us. He didn't need to become human for him. He became a human being for us. that you through his poverty might be rich. You see, he gave it all. In the ultimate, he gave it all. Now, which one of those three types of givers do you think Jesus Christ is? There's no question. He gave it all. And he gave it all, and obviously in the right attitude. So, brethren, as we give of our money or of our time or of our talents, we need to be careful that we be gracious givers. And we can be motivated by the grace of God in our lives so that however it is that we give, whatever the manner in which, whatever it is we have that God has blessed us with, and whatever manner in which we give it, that we might be able to come to the conclusion that we can say the same things that the Apostle Paul did. And I want to conclude the sermon with these verses. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Is it going to be in vain in us? See, because whatever it is, God gave it to us. And he's determined, he said, it's not going to be in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What type of giver are we? And the Aaronic blessing? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are so blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.